broadcasting around the entire world. From New York City, via Simplecast, and supported by listeners like you. Bitcoin, billions, stellar, trading, mining, markets, FUD, sharing, forks, millions, bytes, wise. Keeping you up to date on everything crypto. Welcome to Thriller News. Now here is your host, Carl Gonzalez.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls from around the world. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Thriller News. My name is Carl Gonzalez. Today is Sunday, May 12th, 2019. Happy Mother's Day. That's right, it's Mother's Day. And we have a lot of news to cover. First, we're going to start off with Binance in today's crypto top story.
Crypto top stories.
All right. So today's first crypto top story is Binance. That's right. It was hacked for $40 million worth of Bitcoin. And Binance, if you don't know, is one of the largest cryptocurrency exchanges in the world. Now, Binance is based in Taiwan, and it announced on Tuesday that hackers were able to withdraw over 7,000 Bitcoin through a single transaction amounting to $40 million. They employed various methods, including phishing and viruses, and in what the company described as a large-scale security breach. Withdrawals and deposits on the platform have since been suspended. Fortunately for Binance customers, the company will use its emergency insurance fund so customers won't personally incur any losses. Now, this isn't the first time we've seen a Bitcoin exchange get hacked. Everybody knows about Mt. Gox, which collapsed in 2014 after losing $460 million. And of course, there was Bitfinex, where hackers stole $72 million worth of Bitcoin in 2016. And 2018, we know of hackers stealing $500 million in digital tokens from exchange Coincheck. And of course, we know of Quadriga CX. Now, according to the Wall Street Journal, more than $1.7 billion in cryptocurrency has been stolen over the years, most of which has come from exchanges and been centered around Asia. The Binance heist, like the previous exchange hacks, should serve as a warning to everybody. Now, almost immediately when this went down on Tuesday, Binance went on the offensive and CZ started live streaming directly to all its customers. And it was... there was a lot in there that he said. Take a listen.
As you guys know, we had a security incident yesterday. I think the blog post pretty much explained it all. It's basically a very advanced, persistent hacking effort. They use both external and internal methods to trap a lot of fish and get a lot of user accounts. And it's a very advanced. It's probably the most advanced. And the hackers are very patient. So they don't move as soon as they have one account. They wait for when they have a very large number of accounts, and they wait until they get very high net worth accounts. So it's a bit unfortunate, and our security measures was not able to stop that withdrawal, which costed us 7,770 BTC. So which come to roughly around $40 million about now. We do have the funds, we do have the SafeFu funds set up before, so we will use that to cover it. It is a very unfortunate, incident. But it is what it is. Right now our main effort is to focus on rebuilding and recovering the system. We need to make sure that we completely eradicate any trace of the hackers in all of our accounts, in all of our data. So we that's a very tedious process. So unfortunately, before we finish that, we will not be able to release withdrawals or accept deposits. So we just want to make sure everything's safe. And because we have a very large set of data and we have a very large system architecture right now, we do estimate that it will take about a week. So this morning, a number of people have offered us support. There's a few topics I will discuss in this regard. And so very soon, I think we're still, the team is still debating whether, or the team's pretty much decided on encouraging everyone to change the API keys if you trade with using API. So I think that announcement is going to go out any minute now. We do highly recommend people to change their 2FA token, 2FA secret, or the reset the 2FA. So disable and re-enable it. So we do advise people to take those security measures as a precaution. We don't know exactly to what extent the number of users affected, because that's kind of hard for us to guess at times. Very movingly, so a number of people have pledged very strong support, including Justin Sun, including Coinbase, including QKC, and a number of other exchanges and projects in our space. The current situation is we do have the funds to cover that $40 million, so we are completely okay on the funding side. It does hurt very much, but we are able to cover that, so we do not need the funding help. We have been working with other exchanges to block deposits from those hacked addresses. There's the other topic of, do we want to issue a rollback on the Bitcoin network? Because right now the 7,000 BTC is far higher than, if we distribute that to miners, it will be far higher than the what they got paid for the last few blocks. To be honest, we can actually do this probably within the next few days. But there are concerns about if we do a rollback on Bitcoin network at that scale, it may have some negative consequences in terms of credibility, for destroying credibility for Bitcoin. So again, the team's still deciding that, and we're running through the numbers and checking everything. So I think throughout this instant, we will try to maintain very high transparency, we will just and we will solicit community help. So the reorg is an idea that came from the community. I actually did not know that we could do that, there are serious consequences for doing that. So we will take that very cautiously. So I think the biggest thing is I do want to beg people to forgive us in terms of not being able to withdraw for the next week or so. So
So there's a few things to unpack there. First off, it was definitely an unprecedented step that CZ would think that rolling back the network without an agreement between the entire industry and the community would actually fix things. What he doesn't know is that that would be seen as an attack on Bitcoin because Bitcoin is immutable. So if he were to do that, it would basically become a fork of Bitcoin. There is a reason why disagreements happen. People don't understand that if he were to do that, it would just become its own separate chain, and the real chain with the 40 million still missing would continue to go on. I think what we're seeing here is just entire transparency from CZ, which I like, but I am understanding now that he has the wrong people around him. It seems like he's getting information, and it seems like he is listening to people, including his security team, and they're giving him wrong information. He's making these decisions based on the information that he is given. I don't think he's the most knowledgeable when it comes to understanding how this tech works. He is a CEO, so he's going to make CEO decisions. But as far as trying to understand what you can and can't do and having a PR team in place, there's just, from top to bottom through this whole mess that kind of played out throughout this week, I realized that Binance has a PR problem. They also have a people problem within the organization that are just giving bad information to CZ. They have a security problem, which they addressed here on Friday, where they said that they were going to be revamping security measures. And I quote, he says, significant changes related to its application programming interface, API, two-factor authentication, and withdrawal validation are being made. This is what Zhao said in a blog post. Now, he also didn't disclose any details regarding these efforts, but he said it is trying to improve on its risk management and KYC procedures to fight phishing and among other additional security measures at the back end. Now, they will take some of the measures within this week and in the coming weeks in order to resume services at the earliest, according to CZ, tentatively to resume withdrawals and deposits earlier this week. So I don't understand where he thinks he can roll out security within 7 days or 6 days after an initial hack. That's not something that you can do. If he hasn't already, I would highly suggest that he looks into getting a real security team there. I just don't know anymore if your funds are safe on Binance, at least from where I stand. My background isn't in security, but I am a network administrator, so I do see a lot of hacks happen, and usually it comes from email or it comes from within the business. From top to bottom, there usually isn't a very proficient education method built in place for a lot of these companies. All it takes is one person to make a mistake, to click on a link, and there you go. Your entire system is controlled. So I will say that he's going to have to retrain his employees. He's going to have to look at the people that he has around him that are giving him this advice. He's going to have to build out a real security team in place. And yeah, there's just a lot of stuff there. I personally never traded on Binance. I've never been a fan of what they built. I always thought the build fast, worry about everything else approach just doesn't work when it comes to cryptocurrency exchanges. I think Tyler and Cameron Winklevoss said it best during South By that we'll let everybody else run around us. We'll go ahead and take the smart, slow approach for this stuff. And Coinbase is doing the same thing as well. And I think as we're starting to see throughout the space, it's those exchanges, the exchanges that are regulated, the exchanges that have their funds protected, and security is at the utmost of their concern. Those are the ones that are going to win in the long run. I hope this is a good learning experience for Binance. I think it will be. I just won't be a part of letting him go through growing pains. I will never trade with Binance personally. I just don't see the reason to at this point. I was already pretty skeptical before, and it was interesting to see that skepticism kind of happen in real time. But nonetheless, I think he handled everything as best as he possibly could. I think it's very transparent. I think he definitely needs to look at the people around him and realize that a lot of the information he's getting is just plain wrong. And this kind of build fast, worry about everything else approach is just not going to work anymore. He really needs to hamper down on security and retraining his staff so that they know what to look out for. Being the number one exchange in the world when it comes to crypto and your security is really, really bad. That's not good. All right. That's all we got. With that, let's get into crypto rapid fire.
Crypto rapid fire, just in case you missed it.
All right, so we have a lot of news to cover. HTC says its next smartphone will run a full Bitcoin node. That's according to Coinbase. Now, speaking on Saturday at the Magical Crypto Conference in New York, HTC's Phil Chan revealed a new low-cost version of its blockchain phone, the Exodus 1S, announcing that the device will be capable of acting as a full node for the Bitcoin network, meaning customers will store the entire blockchain's data on their devices. The company will also provide a software development kit available for its Zion wallet and HTC's crypto wallet app, and eventually plans to open source the code behind its social key recovery mechanism. Now, this is going to be a lot cheaper, says Phil Chen, HEC's decentralized chief officer. It will be a lot more accessible, and the device will retail between $250 and $300. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Way to go, HTC. In our next piece of news, Vitalik Buterin, Joe Lubin will back $700,000 donation to Ethereum project Moloch DAO. That's right. As stated, the Moloch DAO white paper is the immediate goal of the initiative was to fund further development of the next major iteration of the Ethereum blockchain, Ethereum 2.0. With the 4,000 ETH donation, 700,000 at today's price, both Lubin and Buterin, along with 20 individuals from Consensus and the Ethereum Foundation who have submitted donations, will be voted in as members of the decentralized autonomous organization. Members are able to submit funding proposals to the platform and have them approved with a simple majority vote from all members in the system. Amin said, "It's inspiring to see the leads of the Ethereum community join together and help try out new coordination mechanisms to help move the entire Ethereum ecosystem forward." Our next piece of news, U.S. senators seek information on Facebook's Libra crypto project. That's right, the U.S. Senate Banking Committee is clearly concerned about Facebook's new cryptocurrency project and how it's treating individuals' financial information. The Banking Committee wrote in an open letter to Facebook founder and CEO Mark Zuckerberg Thursday, asking him to share details about its secret cryptocurrency project, with a particular focus on consumer privacy. They said last year Facebook asked U.S. banks to share detailed financial information about consumers. In addition, privacy experts have raised questions about Facebook's extensive data collection practices and whether any of the data collected by Facebook is being used for purposes that do or should subject Facebook to the Fair Credit Reporting Act. In light of these concerns, the committee wants Zuckerberg to outline how the Facebook cryptocurrency referred to as a codename Project Libra would work, what outreach Facebook has done to financial regulators, and what users can expect in terms of privacy and consumer protection. Next up, we have FinCEN. FinCEN says some dApps are subject to U.S. money transmitter rules. That's right. Decentralized application, or dApps, may qualify as money transmitters under U.S. law in certain circumstances. The nation's anti-money laundering regulator said that the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network published a new guidance sheet Thursday outlining when and how different companies, individuals, and platforms in the crypto space may be money transmitters under the Bank Secrecy Act and other relevant laws. The document highlighted dApps, among other models, being designated a money transmitter under FinCEN rules means a firm or person must follow federal AML and KYC regulations. It was also discussed that non-hosted wallets such as blockchain.com, meaning those where user control their funds, are exempted from possible money transmitter classifications, but hosted online wallets such as Coinbase, which holds the private keys for customers, funds are not. There are some other exemptions as well. Any person who provides support services to a money transmitter acts as a payment processor for a good or service that isn't specifically money transmission or acts as an intermediary between BSA regulated institutions does not qualify as money transmitters. Yeah, there's a lot to go into. I highly suggest if you are an app builder and creating your own dApp or are looking into creating one, go look at FinCEN regulation and their new guidance sheet. It's a doozy. Next up, we have crypto wallet Abra adds in app support for thousands of US banks. That's right. They just expanded bank options and they have implemented APIs for these different bank accounts that they're going to be able to connect now that they enabled a lot more US banks. Now, until now, Abra users were just in the US and EU, but they have an option to fund their wallets via bank transfer with this new feature. They also added the addition of releasing any type of withdrawal from any coin, and those are up to 30 currently right now. And so you'll be able to not only purchase crypto from any bank now, but you'll also be able to withdraw any crypto inside the Abra wallet. Way to go, Abra. That's what we've been waiting for. And our last piece of news is a new crypto ETF. A prospectus for a new cryptocurrency-based exchange-traded fund ETF has just been filed with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. The proposed ETF posted by the SEC on May 9th was created by Crescent Crypto Index Services LLC, a subsidiary of Crescent Crypto Asset Management LLC, to track the performance of a market capitalization weighted portfolio of Bitcoin and Ether. Dubbed the USCF, Crescent Crypto Index Fund, ticker symbol XBET. The ETF is sponsored by United States Commodity Funds LLC, USCF, which will invest XBETs, or XBETS, assets in the two portfolio cryptocurrencies. They stated that XBET is an exchange-traded fund. This means that most investors who decide to buy or sell shares of XBET place their trade orders through their brokers and may incur customary brokerage commissions and charges. Shares of XBET are expected to trade on the NYSE Arca under the ticker symbol XBET and will be bought and sold throughout the trading day at bid and ask prices like other publicly traded securities. And that's all we got for Crypto Rapid Fire. With that, let's jump into Crypto YouTube.
Crypto YouTube. The world of crypto YouTube. The world of crypto YouTube. The world of crypto YouTube.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a crazy week in Bitcoin. And I like to think that the bulls are back in town. And Mike Novogratz came to the Ethereum Summit yesterday and just shook the building. He was talking his bullish talk like he always does. And it really got a lot of people revitalized. And earlier this week, he showed up on Bloomberg and did the exact same thing. Check this out.
We do need to talk about the spate of fraud and theft in crypto. Quadriga, Tether and Bitfinex, and most recently Binance. Has it affected you?
Listen, it's not good for the whole ecosystem. What's happening over time, though, is professionals are coming into the space, regulation is coming into the space, and we're getting better product. And so when I think of custody, Fidelity, New York Dig out of New York, Anchor out of the West Coast, all world-class solutions coming into custody. And so that's going to allow institutions to feel comfortable. Listen, the Quadriga thing was a setback for the space because it's got regulators nervous, and regulators get nervous and they slow the whole process down. And so it's up to the community to build the right infrastructure. This is complicated stuff. A lot of this stuff got thrown together quickly. These exchanges.
What about Bitfinex?
You know, Bitfinex ran at 97% margins. I remember sitting down with the CEO and saying, maybe you should decrease your margin and spend more on infrastructure. You know, 97% margins, think about that as a business. And, you know, listen, like I said, you look at Coinbase and the money they spend building safety and working with regulators. And I think the future is going to be more regulated, safer and more institutional places.
Did you lose any money on those?
I didn't. Knock on whatever this is. Listen, you know, what happened last night with Binance, in some ways they responded quickly. It was a hot wallet. They got shut down. They had reserves to pay out the investors. No one lost any money. But
if this weren't fraud, you'd almost have to call it comical, right? This what's going on. You said yourself in a recent tweet, the herd won't come until we all operate with transparency and professionalism. Why would any institution invest in this asset class if the evidence suggests that on any given day, your money could disappear in a puff of code?
Well, a puff of code, that's good. Listen, it can all disappear. Even in the aggressive exchanges, they keep only a small portion on what's called hot wallets would be accessible to hacks. And there's insurance. And so, again, you know, loud and clear, no one lost a cent last night. Still not good for the space. We need more transparency and we need more professionalism. And that's coming.
What if Facebook gets into this business?
I think it's a stunningly important thing. I think it's a good thing for the entire space. So listen, what's been happening is the herd is slowly coming along, right? Yale got in, Harvard got in, Stanford got in, more and more endowments are getting in. And so now you've got one of the largest companies in the world saying, we believe in cryptocurrency. We're going to set up, you know, and we'll see what their announcement, when their announcement comes, but it's not going to be small. And to me, it's a step function of credentialization and credibility. And so if you're at the Texas Municipal Teachers Union and you've been thinking about this, you're one step further to investing, especially since you now have Fidelity where you can custody, or all these places that are trusted.
Trusted, that's a very complicated, it becomes a very complicated question, Mike, because if Facebook hasn't demonstrated conclusively that it can be trusted to protect user data, why would users entrust Facebook with their money?
Well, you'll see. Let's not prejudge the project until it's out. I would think that we're going to see if it's a centralized or if it's a decentralized ecosystem they set up. If it's a centralized ecosystem, nothing really changes. If it's a decentralized ecosystem, i.e. not controlled by them, then it's a big, big deal.
Bitcoin is closing in on $6,000. Is that as much... Is that an important technical level of...
Sure it is.
And now as much as it used to be?
We're going to struggle around 6,000 for a while. We're going to take out 6,000. We're going to be much higher. You know, what's interesting is we had this bubble. Everything went up. It was all store value. And when it was all store value, you had unlimited supply coming in because you could have started the Eric coin and that's adding to supply. And the market got rational. The only store of value in the space right now is Bitcoin. It doesn't need to change. It is gold, right? Now think about gold. Gold became...
Hang on. Is it game over and Bitcoin's won?
Yes. It's won that bucket. It's won the bucket of store of value. Not as a currency, but as a store of value. It's won. And all the other cryptos, just like the other 113 elements on the periodic table, have to prove use case, have to be valuable because people use them. And so if it's Ethereum or EOS or Definity or Hashgraph or any
Litecoin
of these guys
or whatever,
being Web 3.0, they need two things to happen. They need to be used. And so you got to put people in the room, programmers, entrepreneurs, developers.
So it doesn't matter that you can't buy anything with Bitcoin.
You can't buy anything with gold. What have you bought with gold in your whole life?
You know I haven't bought anything
with gold. You know, maybe you get a gold coin and you save it. Bitcoin is a store of value. And listen, the Incas and the Aztecs thought gold came from God. That's why it was a store of value. There is something magic that happened. It's not the code. Right, me and you could take the code of Bitcoin, it's transparent, and we could launch it tomorrow and call it Schatzker coin, and it would be worth bupkis, right? But Bitcoin's worth $100 billion. It's the social construct that makes it worth $100 billion. And it's hard to repeat that. And so it's pretty freaking cool. But now I see people all believing it. And so it's a self-fulfilling prophecy in lots of ways. And so Bitcoin, I feel better about Bitcoin today than I have at any time in my career. And the rest of the space, listen, I was just out in San Francisco. The locus of this space is moving back around San Francisco and Silicon Valley. And I went to five different funds, VC / hedge funds. Each of them had some boy genius between 19 and 23 that had worked at the NSA or had graduated high school when they were 12. And I was thinking to myself, this space is pulling in the smartest kids of their generation. It's pulling in great entrepreneurs who are my age, people like Abby Johnson and Ross Stevens, and it's pulling in this young technical talent. And so I think it's a bullish environment.
Yeah, he's exactly right. Here in Austin, for example, like we run into people all the time that are building out their own dApps. No one's looking to create iOS or Android apps anymore. Everybody wants to create something interesting for the crypto industry. It's really cool. It's cool stuff. It's a whole financial technology industry that's just kind of unfolding right in front of us, and it's there for the taking. So all these young kids are gravitating towards it. And also what's interesting is you have some people that are in other industries looking at our space. We were just at Ethereum Summit yesterday and the day before, and there's people from the World Bank there. There are people from all sorts of industries there just trying to understand exactly what was going on in this space. To me, that's a very bullish outlook. And every time I get an email or I get people asking me questions via Telegram, it's always somebody that, you know, was never looking into the space. So, yeah, we will have some bad news like Binance from time to time from these hacks, and that'll draw a lot of bad attention. But once you kind of look behind that, there's actually real stuff going on behind the scenes that people are actually working on. And that's what's super, super interesting for me, is seeing all that stuff unfold. Okay, with that, let's go ahead and jump into crypto Twitter. There's a lot of talk. That's right. There's a lot of crypto and Bitcoin talk. Let's do it.
Crypto Twitter.
So guess which billionaire went on the news today and talked about Bitcoin? I know you're probably thinking, oh, probably Elon Musk. No, he likes talking about Ethereum, apparently. No, it was Bill Gates. That's right. Bill Gates went on Bloomberg and said some interesting things about Bitcoin. Check it out.
Bitcoin is exciting because it shows how cheap it can be. Bitcoin is better than currency in that you don't have to be physically in the same place. And of course, for large transactions, currency can get pretty inconvenient.
It's kind of funny how he changed his tune from where he was almost a year ago. Interesting how Bakkt and the New York Stock Exchange and then partnering with Microsoft and then Azure rolling out its own blockchain kind of changes your tune, right? So yeah, it's a little funny. And you know, it's kind of interesting. Everybody says, Bill Gates, why are you promoting Bitcoin? It's full of flaws. You used to be at the top of your game. What happened? Somebody else says, he didn't create the DOS program that made him rich. He took it from another programmer for cheap, lying to the programmer and copyrighted it into his own name. Programmer lost his wife, his life, and could have bought so many inventions to the world, but Clown Gates stole the idea. LMO. Yeah, it's kind of crazy how people will change their tune once they're highly invested into Bitcoin. A lot of other people are kind of upset because Bitcoin went over $7,000 here recently, and they're starting to see a correction from it. We also have a lot of the major media outlets reporting Bitcoin's massive gain the past week. So yeah, people are kind of wondering whether this is a consensus pump or this is just people unable to withdraw their funds from Binance. Whatever the case may be, I will say it's just really interesting that every year around this time we see a pump. I think last year was the first year we didn't see that. But being here in New York during Blockchain Week, I am starting to see why that is. I think it's mainly because of the amount of just different people from different industries being exposed to cryptocurrency and all its promise. So not bad. We also have Gemini kind of going all over the place planting, we need crypto. So pretty cool. With that, let's get into Coin 360. Let's do it.
Crypto 360 weather report.
All right, so we have a total market cap of $209 billion. That's right, we're down 10 billion from yesterday. We also have Bitcoin dominance at around 58%. If we look at our top five cryptocurrencies on the day, we have $6,952 for Bitcoin, down 3%. We have Ethereum at $186, down 5%. We have XRP at 30 cents, down 5%. Bitcoin Cash at $351, down 0.75%. We have Litecoin at $84, down 6%. If we look at our 24-hour change on the green, we have ARK Block going up 12% at 58 cents. We have ARK at 52 cents, up 5%. We have Horizon at $12.45, up 3%. We have Isaac RLC at 64 cents, up 2%. If we look at our 24-hour change on the red, we have TrueChain at 80 cents, down 15%. Factum at $9, down 14%. We have Bitcoin at 0.09, down 12%. We have Digibyte at 1 penny, down 12%. Yeah, entirely different market from where we were last week. It's interesting to see everything kind of rise. But usually whenever there is a you know, a massive rally like this where we got it to like 76, I think it was, you'll usually see a pullback like 30, 35, 20%. So that wouldn't surprise me. And then on top of that, we have a consensus this week. So we'll be covering all of that this week as well. But it will be interesting to see what the regulators are going to say during the week. So depending on that news, we'll see if Bitcoin will kind of hold its spot. But with that, let's get on to the end of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, another Thriller News is Dunsies. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. And make sure to check out our whole Ethereal Summit coverage that we posted this past weekend. We're going to be releasing a couple more interviews later this week from New York. We're also going to be having our whole consensus Monday through Wednesday. So look for a podcast to drop those days. And as always, buy Bitcoin, save the world. See you next time.
This is the end of the show. You have been listening to Thriller Podcast with Bar Gonzalez. Remember, Thriller Podcast is not financial advice. Everything Carr said likely won't come true. It is up to you. Now go do your own research. Listen to other dudes that start their name with crypto and not Carr. And remember, buy Bitcoin and save the world. One Satoshi at a time.